Yeah, bloody hell. Oh, band politics. It's my favourite.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAG10 for 10% off your first purchase.
You're listening to Sapnin Podcast.
Sapnin!
You're listening to episode 121 of Sapnin Podcast with myself, Sean Smith, and my good friend, Morgan Richards.
Yes, it's me, Morgan Richards. But do you know what, Sean? I think this episode is going to present a host of new angles to the music industry and everything around it.
Oh, you bastard! I was just thinking, as soon as we did, I was like, oh, here we go. This week's guest doesn't have any song titles out, I don't think. How is he going
to
do this?
I know, I had to change bastard. My game up, but I'm pretty proud of that one. I think it suits well.
Yeah, no, you've done all right there.
Thanks.
Thank you. Ooh, rare praise. This week's guest is a presenter, DJ, host, as you mentioned in the pun, which kind of now ruins this bit, I've realised. The fantastic Sophie Kay.
Yes, and where do we start with Sophie? One of my favourite humans covering music in the industry right now, and she's basically done it all in rock and metal. A lot of people will recognise her face, voice and energy from her work presenting at Kerrang, BBC Radio 1, Scuzz TV, Team Rock, and now launching her own podcast on Wednesdays, We Wear Black, with two other awesome souls in Alex and Yasmin on the Heavy Network. But the thing is with Sophie, she is always someone up to cool things, if it's inspiring others or fighting for change, and we're going to be getting into all of that in this conversation. She's an absolute badass, and I'm just excited to get her story, because that's what we do, Sean. People come on and tell us their stories.
Nice, yes. Thank you to Sophie for coming on. Thank you for the people at the Heavy Network for setting it up as well. Yeah, Sophie is, what a badass, like, she came on, spoke her mind, didn't censor herself, and she was just fantastic. And it was great to hear her story from, you know, beginning to where she is now, and congratulations on all her success. I know the poor soul had to speak to me at some point and had to interview me, so I'm sorry for whatever I said back then. I was an idiot. Well, I'm an idiot now, but I was more of an idiot back then. So yeah, but what a great time we had with her, getting to hang out for a bit of an afternoon. Yeah, what a lovely, lovely person. And yeah, good luck with the podcast. I'm sure it's going to do very, very well.
Yeah, and literally the chat is just so honest and open from both ends as well, because we both trade some very interesting and funny stories about some of our best and worst times doing interviews, podcasts and whatnot. But just to say how much of an influence she has become, Sean, Sophie was an answer on the UK television gaming show Tenable recently with Warwick Davis.
I saw this, because I follow her on the socials, as the children say today. And yeah, I saw it and I was like, oh, that's super cool. And then I saw Warwick Davis's crazy rock hand signal, which is, as we all know, that's the Australian Hang 10, I'm a surf dude, banana phone, right? I don't know what it means, but have one of them. That's what he gave. He was like, I like rock. Is this what you do? But do you know what? Do you know what would have been equally as bad? If he had put that finger up and he did that, the horns with the thumb out, which if anybody follows me on social media, every now and again I post the rock horns for rock, and then the rock horns with a thumb out means you're doing Spider-Man impressions. So everybody, if you're thinking about doing having a photo and pulling your thumb out, unless you're wearing a Spider-Man costume, don't bother. Just give us the horns, please, for God's sake. So yeah, I think what we need to do now is we need to have Warwick Davis on the podcast to explain himself and tell us what he knows about rock music. So if you're listening to this right now, go on social media, get in touch with Warwick Davis, also tag at SappeningPod, whether it's Twitter or Instagram, at SappeningPod, and let Warwick Davis know that we would love him to come on the podcast to talk to us about rock, his life, and all of the films he's been in, because he's been in loads of mad films.
Yeah, I think it's only fair that we have him on to explain himself so he doesn't get cancelled by the entire rock community, really, because I'm always baffled that people throw up the Spider-Man logo or whatever instead of the horns. Like, it's two fingers. I don't get what the confusion is.
The mad thing is now all the kids are doing it today because rappers are just throwing that thumb out there willy-nilly, and I don't like it. Reel it in. Like, you're not Peter Parker. You're not. You like rock or you like the devil. That's what the horns are for.
Unless we've just figured out that all the rappers get together and watch Spider-Man films on the regular, and that's their kind of, like, friend sign.
I don't think they do. No? I think they're too busy sipping lean and shooting each other, I think. Or grassing on each other. That's right. The latest, isn't it?
Fair.
They like grassing on each other. Sorry, let's move on before one of us gets shot.
Yes. But yeah, we're going to be talking to Sophie about a whole journey as a journalist, calling out gatekeepers of the scene and just everything from her friendship with Jason Butler to some incredible interview moments and so much more. But before we get into all of that, a quick reminder, if you are listening to this podcast for the first time or a regular one to us, please go and check out our social media pages at SappeningPod on the Twitter and Instagram. Give us a follow. And we'd very much appreciate if you head over to our Patreon page, patreon.com/Sappening, to help us with this podcast each and every week and get some incredible goodies back for it.
Yes, patreon.com/Sappening, at SappeningPod on Instagram and Twitter. That's at SappeningPod on Twitter and Instagram. Morg, let's get into this one. It's really good, and I've just realised how many things that we talk about that I should have censored myself.
Ooh. Sappening!
Sappening! Are we going to get cancelled? That's it.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself
and for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Sappening!
Sappening!
What's happening? I can't shout too loud. I don't want to scare the puppy.
Yes! This week's guest is host, presenter, and as of late, podcaster. Mm. Yes, this week's guest is the fantastic Sophie Key. How are you, Sophie?
Hey, oh, I'm good, thank you. How are you guys doing?
Yeah, all right. You're staying alive, keeping busy, I guess.
This life stuff is taking forever. It's literally every day. Every day you've got to
every
do
day.
It, apparently.
Yeah, yeah.
I wish somebody had told me at the start.
Mm. I think that's the first time we've had a guest be worried about their pet before shouting Sapnin. So that's a first time ever.
That's a first, nice.
It's very rock and roll of me, what can I say?
Obviously. But no, how have you been doing this kind of last year in the lockdown world? I mean, a lot of people have been losing their minds, but it seems you've been losing yours more in work than ever before.
Yeah, it's been, do you know what? It's been busy and then also really difficult at the same time, because obviously you have that external view of what's going on. I'd say for me, it was really difficult going into lockdown because I'm one of those people who likes to stay busy. So the idea of just sitting in all day, every day, I started to go a little bit insane, especially as I live in London where you're known for not having the biggest houses. So hence getting a dog. Hey, I'm such a cliche.
I know what I'll do. I'll make my house smaller.
Yes, I will indeed. Get a dog, kind of, because he's a chihuahua, so everyone calls him a rat. But but work-wise, it's been really busy. And I think it's been twofold. I think partly because radio has definitely picked up, because more people are listening to stuff now, like podcasts and radio. I'm sure you guys have seen a massive spike. So that's been across the board. But then the other thing is Black Lives Matter happened. And so everybody in rock and metal went, shit, we haven't got any black presenters. Who do we know? Sophie Kay, she's still knocking around. Right, we'll get her in. So yeah, it's been really busy, which has been great.
Nice. That's good. Yeah, that's awesome. I really wanted to talk about, for our listeners who just don't know, and a lot of people who listen to this just don't know anything at all anyway, so I'm just wondering if you
Something
could... Come on, Morg. We've met some of them, come on. Let's be honest,
God,
Morg,
that's
come
our
on.
Audience alienated there, thank you.
They know. Oh, our audience picks on me more than I pick on anybody. So
all right, that's true. All right,
That's just one. They can have one back.
Okay.
Yes, so if you could just talk to us about... Yeah, how you got started with TV, radio, presenting and stuff. And it's the full story, if possible. How did it begin?
Well, I started like really young. So when I was about 8 years old, my parents moved to Uganda from London. So I lived out there, and being a precocious little shithead I was like, I want to be a presenter. And so I managed to start my own show out there at like the age of 10. Got nominated for a UNICEF award, like was like a celebrity out there because I started the first ever kids TV show.
Wow.
So that was like, I know people don't think that I'd do something like that, but and then came back to the UK at like 15, went to uni, did all that kind of palaver, and then just wanted to continue presenting, so did a whole range, went through the typical trauma that gets you into metal, and then ended up like listening to heavy music, going, everything sucks in the world, I want to die, everybody sucks, and decided I wanted to get into metal, which was simultaneously the best and worst decisions I think I'd ever made. And it's one of those things that you don't get into it for the money, let's just say, but you definitely get it into it for the love. And so most people have probably seen me now across, I work on Radio 1, Scars, I worked at Team Rock, Absolute Radio, Kerrang Radio, do their breakfast show. But my actual first break in rock and metal was at Total Rock Radio, where I interviewed you, Sean.
Yeah!
I don't know if you remember, but I did an interview with you. Because I remember back in the day, you did say that... You wanted to write really good music everybody liked that you could just make lots of money. I remember you saying that, and I remember thinking, oh my God, that's the most honest, brilliant answer anyone's ever given me.
And it turns out that we didn't write good enough music to become rich. So, yeah, turns out, as truthful as that answer was, right, turned out to be a big lie because I couldn't write the music that I knew people would want. So, yeah, why not? Why not try and make a career out of it? I was wrong because, 13 years after the band started, we knocked it on the head and, yeah.
But the memories, the stories are always like, nobody has stories like that going, oh, I started working in a bank at 18 and still work in a bank. Yeah. And I'm going to die in the bank.
Yeah, nobody's like, so I started working at the garage and then I did Pharrell's tyres and then I was in a band. it's never gone like that, isn't it? But yeah, you are right. You are right. I've got some fantastic memories and I've been lucky enough to do some daft shit, I suppose.
And here we are today.
Yeah, well, no, wait, I need to know more about this Uganda experience. So is there footage? Like, is there any Ugandan children's TV by Sophie Kay online?
No, thank God.
She's got rid of it. She's got rid of
it to the ground.
She's got people searching. God. But yeah, that's mad. Did you come back from Uganda then, like, when you moved back to London, like, hey, I'm a big deal in Uganda. Like,
I was walking down the streets of Huddersfield, like, I was wearing Sex Panther. I was like, do you know who I fucking am?
I'm such a big deal in Uganda. Yeah, that's... I want to know... Wait a minute, let me find out... I want to find out how big Uganda is. Uganda's bigger than Wales, I'd imagine.
Yeah, it's the place where you've got the source of the Nile.
It's going to be, yeah.
Lake we've Victoria. Got
yeah.
It's not a massive country.
I just realised I started comparing Wales to Uganda for no reason. Just like, we got the Taff, they've got the Nile.
Do you know what? Last time I was in Uganda, that's what someone said. They went, yeah, well, Wales. That's smaller than Uganda, isn't it?
Yeah. They were there going, oh, I tell you what, I long to be in Merthyr Tydfil. That's what the people in Uganda say.
All the time.
Wow.
All the time.
Uganda, twinned with Wales.
Oh, I mean, from that early age, just travelling back and forth and, you know, having a lot of experience of different cultures, I'm sure that set you up to look at things a lot differently. And that must have been just an experience in its own.
Yeah, it does completely change the way you think. I think as well, like it really solidified my love for animals. Because the wildlife out there is phenomenal. So from a young age, I was hanging out with, like, at the local zoo. They had, you can't go to it anymore because they shut it down and now it's on a private island. But you could go hang out with orphan chimps. So my weekend would be going, hanging out with orphan chimps and, like, you'd stand there with them. And, like, if one had a cold, you'd have to blow their noses. And so they'd blow their noses and then they'd try and blow yours. And it's just magical.
Aww.
And so I used to I used to get bullied a lot because I used to collect chameleons and keep them on a bush outside because the local kids thought that they were poisonous and so used to kill them. So I used to pay all my pocket money to collect chameleons. And that meant people started bringing me all these orphan animals. So I once had a fruit bat, which I used to take to school with me and feed in my lunch breaks. And then I went to my dad once and I said, someone's got a leopard, please, can I bring it home? And he was like, that, do you know what? That's where I draw the line. You're going to get us killed in our sleep.
Yeah, maybe.
Dad, someone's got a rhino. We need a rhino.
Please. Yeah. It's really important.
I've seen an alligator down by the river. Can we have it? No. Yeah, that's
moving
insane.
Back to somewhere like Huddersfield is like... It couldn't have been more opposite. And it was a really weird experience.
Mm.
There's not a chameleon in sight in Huddersfield. Well, it shouldn't be a chameleon in sight anywhere, really, because they're really good at camouflage. But there's definitely more chameleons in Uganda. Yeah, that's mad. Like, I don't even... How many chameleons did you have at once? What was the most?
I think I had about 20.
Wow. What? That's pretty impressive.
How big are these chameleons? How big are we talking?
I mean, they're only, like... 10 centimetres maybe.
Oh, okay, cool.
And so you could like put them on your shoulder and no, they're not like monitor lizards or anything, but so it was a really weird existence and weird life, like doing all of that, but it kind of set me up in a way, I guess, to just be able to handle different stuff, which has made me be able to be really strong within metal and rock, and because it's a hard industry for anyone. But when you've been able to like move internationally as a kid, when you've been able to handle like different cultures and different schools and all that kind of stuff, you're like, metal, pff, all right, whatever.
Yeah, I gotta say, that's a hell of a background story. I'm very, very impressed. I don't think we've had one as good as that. But you said that, like, the first time getting into metal and realizing that, you know, this is what you wanted to do, you wanted to have a career in music. I mean, what side of it pushed you towards journalism and presenting and that side of the thing? Was there ever a moment you thought you wanted to be a musician or in a band, or was there something that really drawed you towards that side of things?
So I've wanted to be a presenter since I was like five. It's like always been my dream. And I've never been diagnosed with it, but I'm convinced I've got ADD. Like my focus is zero. But yeah, right. And then as soon as you put me in a situation where I'm presenting or something like that, like my focus is like laser precision. And so it was just something I always wanted to do. And then as I started to get more and more into rock and metal, I'll be honest, it just pissed me off that I saw so many shit presenters at the time succeeding. And I just thought, what the hell are these people doing? It was, I remember watching some TV show, because there used to be more music channels back in my day. there were more music channels. And I remember watching an interview with Enter Shikari, and this journalist who, because it was a time where you had that fight between metal and indie. And even though I was like really metal, so technically I shouldn't have liked Enter Shikari, but you get really defensive because they're one of ours still.
Yeah.
And I remember this presenter called them Enter Shitaki, thinking he was being funny. And it pissed me off so much that it drove me in my career to try and get a job. Because I was like, if this dickhead can be doing it, then I'm going to do it. I have no idea. I have no idea.
But how can we find that out? We need to thank them for your career. Thank you for pissing me off so much. You made me fucking do this.
Watch it be somewhere famous, and then it's me going, that dickhead.
Yeah, we better have a look after this. We better look into this, just in case it's in case it's somebody big.
Yeah, but I mean, from a like journalist point of view as well, I'm sure that, you know, just shit questions like that and like little jokes really are quite annoying. But I wanted to ask really about your kind of interview technique and the way you look at things or maybe prepare them beforehand. Because we've talked, you've mentioned already that, you know, you've have a lot of different roles, and working for TV and radio and podcasting is all very different. I don't think the regular listener or just fan of music will realize how those things can really change from time to time, especially if you've got like a 30-minute sit-down conversation with someone or a quick 5-minute segment for a quick radio thing. I mean, how do you differ from the different circumstances you're in, and how do you really prepare for everything depending on who you're speaking to?
So this is going to sound like the wankiest reply ever.
Okay.
But what I'll do, so I've... It's really weird because in society there's like this obsession with fresh presenters. Who's the newest? Who's like just crawled out of their mother's vagina and we're going to put them in front of the camera? And what I find nuts is to do a good interview takes experience. You have to fuck up. You have to say stupid things. You have to do all of those things until you kind of hone your skills. And everybody at 19 thinks they've honed their skills. And you think you're there, but you're really, really not. There's so much more to learn. And so for me now, the point I'm at is now I don't even prep interviews. So what I'll do, well, I do, but not in the normal sense. So, for example, with the interview with Sam Carter from Architects, and that was for Scuzz TV, I just watched random videos. I watched how he dealt with it when he got bored in an interview because it was a shit interviewer. I watched how he deals with it when someone else is talking too much. I watched like what made him laugh and what he responds to. And then I'll create like an energy for people. And so then I'll adapt my, because my whole thing has always been that I find a lot of presenters do it because they want to be famous.
Yeah.
But actually, I just like propping up other people. I like to hear what they've got to say. So now, when I go in, I try and I be the chameleon rather. And so I change according to what the interviewee's needs are. So, for example, with Sam Carter, I just watched so many interviews where people were so cold asking him about the death, you know, and people were so cold. And I just thought, And I saw it happen to Judas Priest as well. Like, people just go straight in. So I thought, right, what if I take a different angle and ask him from the sympathetic point of view of how that feels? Because that's, then I'm going to get something totally different. And I'm talking to him as a human. Whereas, say, Joel from Amity Affliction, when he's at his lowest, I was one of the only people he talked to, because he knew that, like, over the first time, he pretty much sat with his back to me because he felt he just wasn't in the space, and they hadn't made it in the UK yet. They'd just come over for the first time, I think. And he didn't want to do interviews. I just talked to him in ways that I'd say things like, Joel, you're sat here. You're not in the best space. And that's something you're open about, and I can see that you're struggling. How does it feel to have me as a stranger know all about your personal life when I'm sat next to you? That must be so intrusive. And so that way, he's actually like, oh, okay, she's talking to me as a human. She's not coming in going, so tell me about that time you tried to kill yourself. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And reading questions off a list. So yeah, so in answer to your question, the only way I prep is to prep someone's personality rather than the actual questions.
Yeah. Weirdly now, the way you've said that and the way you've iterated that, that's pretty much what I do, but I never thought of it like that, I guess. Like, I never, like, you know, you saw, this is what's, you know, this is an angle and this is what's best to do. I've just, it's from my time in the band, I guess. It's like, I've had to, you know, I've added the other way around as well. So my whole thing is trying, like, the bit we do before we start the interviews where we just have the kind of brief chat and we explain, you know, what the vibe is and stuff like that. Yeah, it's, I really think putting people at ease and trying to get to their funny bone really helps as well. And yeah, it's super interesting.
Yeah.
Because they're humans, like, people, you know, like, you know what it's like to go on tour and be asked questions at, like, the arse end of Shitsville, and you're talking to some, like, random blog, and somebody's just, like, following their questions, and it feels shit to not be treated like a human. And so, yeah, as soon as you talk to someone like a human, they tend to open up to you a lot more.
Yeah. No, that's a beautiful way of looking at stuff as well. But, like, you know, I'm sure in your time you've had to deal with a few people who maybe are not in the best mindset or are having a grumpy day, because, as we know, musicians are, well, normally staying up late and partying and whatnot. So if they got to get up early for a radio interview, it's not the best vibe they're in. But, like, how do you deal with them in those situations? Is it kind of just, again, looking at personalities beforehand? Or do you have any little tricks that go, okay, well, they're not having the best day, let's try this? Do you have anything, like, little secrets in the bag that you pull out from time to time?
Wear a low-cut top.
Again, that's exactly what I do.
Exactly.
Oh my god.
Do you know what, that actually, there's a bit of truth in that, because there is a thing, like, basically I'm quite a there's a point in your career, I guess, I don't know, in your life, I'm quite a motherly person, I guess. I'm that person that comes around, they go, would you like a cup of tea, do you want something?
Yeah.
And it's amazing when bands have been on tour, they're tired, they've had enough, and you come in and you go, how's it going? I've got some chocolates down here if you're hungry, if you haven't eaten yet. And do you know what? You offer them a granola bar, you offer them a cup of tea, and when you're talking to them, just put your hand on their arm and go, how's your day going? And I swear to God, they just like, right, okay, we're in good hands now. We can trust this one. It makes all the difference. So it's not like flirting, but I do mother them a bit.
Yeah, I wonder how many bands are like, I needed that. I was missing my mother today and I needed that. That's exactly like, so many people are like, if you were ultimately gone, do you want me to do your washing for you? You're going, she's the fucking greatest. That's what exactly what I have washed my clothes for 3 weeks. Unbelievable.
Do you know, the time I realised I'd maybe gone a bit too far, but it doesn't work a lot of the time, is when I had a day to remember in the studio and I said, does anyone need a toilet break before we start? I thought, right, I've gone too far now. I've gone way too far.
Yeah. My old band, we were on, I won't mention the band, but they had a tour manager and she was female as well. And she literally made a point just before they went on stage. She'd go, right, boys, before you go on now, does anybody need a wee? And always one of them would be like, yeah. It's like, bro, boys, you're all mid-20s. You're in a band that's... But they were selling out 1,000 capacity venues at the time themselves, and you need to be told, do you want to have a try now before you go on stage? Yeah, I best start. But it's mad, like, you're 10 minutes later, they're on stage, rock stars in front of people.
Yeah.
11 minutes ago, you had a girl going, do you need a poop? Oh, I think I do. I hadn't thought about it, and I do. I do need a poop. You are right. Go on, anyway. I'll go on now and play my songs to thousands of people who adore me. It's mad, isn't it? But that's it. This is what we've learned, and this is like the main thread of our podcast is most of these... Well, everybody in bands are just normal people. We've all done the same stupid shit. We've all bumped our head getting into and out of a taxi. The majority of the boys will have caught their winkies in his zips. Like, we're just humans, like, who do stupid shit. And that's what this... Yeah, this is what we're trying to show people as well with this podcast is, like, when we have people on... Like, we've had rock stars on and we've had them talking about, like, moments where they felt like a child. Like, Simon Neil, for example, we had Simon Neil on and we were talking to him and we were like, what's a mad situation when you've been like, what the fuck is going on? And he was like, oh, we were playing the MTV Awards in Italy and we were playing a Black Sabbath cover and Ozzy was sat in front of me and I was like, yeah, that's crazy. And he went, and I looked to my left and Slash is playing the guitar solo. And we were like, what? And it's just, in those moments, you hear these rock stars becoming children again.
Yeah.
Who were just, like, obsessed with music. So, I guess, with that theme, what was your first moment where you're like, oh my God, I'm super close to ...
Oh, heck. I think it was probably the first thing that comes to my mind. There's a few, because I am a fan above anything else. I'm not one of those people who walks around with a massive ego thinking I'm one of the rock stars. I'm just a fan. But I would say the first time I got to interview Corey Taylor, I lost my mind a little bit. And it was just after Paul Gray had died.
Okay.
And everyone was going, so what's the future of Slipknot? What's the future of Slipknot? And I did this stupid interview. I thought it was funny at the time. I guess it did work and it was kind of funny at the time. But I said to him, so what's the future of your hair? And I saw him like physically drop. He was like, what's the future? Oh, fucking hell, here we go again. And I went, of your hair? Because you keep dying it. You keep doing this, you keep doing that. And he had a laugh. And then we started talking about Marvel. And then I remember I said to him, well, should we try you with a fake moustache? Because I brought like these fake moustaches and I got him to pick one. And my hand just started shaking all of a sudden because my brain just went, you were about to stick a fake moustache on Corey fucking Taylor. And it hit me and I went, oh fuck. And I was trying to get this moustache off and my hand was going and I couldn't peel it off. So I was like trying to talk and fill in the time while I could peel off this moustache. But that was one of those moments where I was like, what the fuck is my life? This is my job.
It's crazy, isn't it? It's mad just... Yeah, looking back at all these things that we've all done and just rooms where we've been in people that where we've idolised them and it's just bonkers. Have you had any nightmare interviews? You don't have to name them, but if you name yours, I'll name ours. I haven't named. I don't think I've named ours out loud on you yet.
No, you haven't. We haven't done that.
This is a good trade. Okay. How are you going to come out and say like, oh, it was this tiny band from Wales, or is it going to be someone substantial? Are you bringing it?
I'm about to ruin my own career, probably. So, up to you, Soph.
Do you know what? I'm not ashamed to say this, and I think they'd find it quite funny, even though I don't know them.
I imagine if it's the same people.
I hope it is. I really hope it is, because it would be perfect. But let's have a go. Let's have a go.
Okay, so my only nightmare interview, written a proper nightmare, would have to be Mastodon.
Oh!
And I was gutted because I was like, I really like Mastodon. But the thing is, they're just daft and they like to mess with people. And I think they especially mess with people who they think might be like super ditzy and happy. And so I was in this situation. I thought, right, I can either go northern on you because I'm quicker than you. I know I'm quicker than you. You're American, like, and I'm from Huddersfield, so I can go back. But I thought, do you know what? I'm just going to play an airhead and let you do this. So they absolutely took the piss. And so I was saying things like, I said to them beforehand, look, I've been given these questions by Scuzz. They're basic questions. I know you're sick of answering these, but we'll just get through them and we're asking everyone the same thing, so it's going to look really nice when it's all edited together. And they were like, cool, yeah, sure. Camera starts rolling and I'm like, so tell us what you've got coming up for us and your set today. And they went, a song? another song, and then start putting their like face right up in my face, and then another song. Now I was hungover as shit, so I was already like sketched out. I was like, oh, I can't deal with this right now. So I just giggled and let them get away with it, and I was like, cool.
Oh, fair
you do
enough.
Your thing. Right, your turn now.
Wow.
No! That's her fucking last one. Ours was at Download 2019.
Yes.
And what I think, I'll have to precursor this with, I think they thought it was just an interview and they were expecting, you know, what's your favourite song to play, like, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
Where'd you get your wacky ideas from?
Yeah, where do you get all your wacky... So we had 45 minutes. We were given 45 minutes. I don't know. I think they just thought it was a normal interview, so they came in. It was early as well. It was muddy. But we sat down with Real Big Fish, right?
Oh.
Who you'd think would naturally be super fun. They're a ska band, right? As much as I disagree with ska, you'd think they'd be fun. Nah. Anyway, so we open. Something. So, oh, God. All right, cool. We're here today with three of Real Big Fish, stars of one of my favourite films of all time, Basketball. Guys, can you tell us about the time, you were in Basketball? And the singer was like, oh, yeah, we released a single just before the film came out. And then the song in the film did better than our single. And I was like, oh, you had two singles do really well at the same time. Oh, you a bugger. That must be awful. And then literally after 10 minutes, I went, all right, thank you very much. That was Real Big Fish.
Yeah, and we just kind of... looked at each other and went, yeah, let's just put it in the bag. But the best thing with that, and if anyone listening wants to go and check this out, and it's just being an inside joke for myself and Sean, is on that Download Festival special of the podcast, the first thing you hear for the first 20 seconds is us testing the mics of the singer. And we have a clip of him joking, saying, I don't want to talk about Real Big Fish, our new album, shows, or Download Festival. So we use that, and we don't mention them for the rest of the episode. So it's a little bit of an inside joke for us.
Yeah, so we didn't even use the 10 minutes we had with them in the end, because we were just so... We didn't want to put it out and bum Real Big Fish fans out. Like, we didn't want them to listen back and go... they're normally so happy. How come these two Welsh pricks have made them sad? When most of our chats with people are quite happy. So, or change from miserable to happy. But yeah, we just thought, oh, it's probably best not to use this. So it's in the can somewhere. We should release it on our Patreon or something. The secret lost awkward interview.
I just hope Sophie doesn't go from happy to miserable at the end of this conversation.
At any point
you could flip. That's the thing. But from the flipping on from that side of questions, though, I mean,
that was
like,
a weird segue. I'm just kidding.
Yeah, I tried it. Yeah. It was very, very clanky, wasn't it? Jesus Christ. Anyway. Over your years in the industry, you've made a lot of great relationships and friends with people that maybe you wouldn't have expected in that time. I know if, Nova Twins now were someone that you have a great rapport with, and especially our good friend Jason Butler from Fever 333 and Let Live and everything. Is it just weird to, when you have a chance to think back of that you have made some great friends in the industry now in your time doing this?
I completely melt down. I'm not good with it. Like, it's fine with Nova Twins, because when I first played them, no one really knew who they were, because this was like in 2015. They just brought out Baseline Bitch. But with Jason Alon Butler, like, he texted me the other day saying, oh, this is the music I've been... what do you think of this? And I was just like, oh my God, what do I think of this? I don't know. Making it a fragrance so I can wear it all day long. I don't know. So it's really hard not to turn into fangirl. But on the same hand, like, if you're face to face with someone, you're just a normal person. I find it weirder over text and messages, over social media apps. I don't know why. But like at a festival, I could hang out and be fine. But to be honest, I don't... this is probably why... this has probably stood against me, but I don't tend to make friends with people in the industry.
Okay.
Because it With Jason, it was different because I've known Jason for so long over his career. And it was lovely, like when he got to meet his wife and had his kid. And so I've known him for so long. Whereas a lot of the time in bands, it can be taken wrong as a woman in rock when you make friends with people and you pass that, like, that boundary of texting or messaging.
Okay.
So there's only a handful. So I'd probably say, like, I Prevail. Obviously, with female artists, it's different, but it's predominantly male in our industry. So I tend to keep it super, super professional and not make friends with people, which sucks because it holds you back a little bit in your career. But it is what it is.
Yeah. Jason's just such a sweetheart. I remember we did the blackout filled in for Sum 41. How? Why? 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 They're absolutely completely different fucking bands. And on the Kerrang tour, and Let Live were playing. And I met Jason day one. Let Live were a big part of the blackout going on, that accepting to fill in for Sum 41 was just so I could get to watch Let Live every day. And after the first day, me and him hung out and we left the venues, and then 10 minutes later I received an email off him, man, saying, "Hey, I know I haven't known you very long, but I think I love you." And I was like, we literally just became best friends, and then we just started talking about how much we both love Glassjaw. And then that was it. As they say,
he's a unique person. Yeah. There's not many people like Jason out there in the world of music, and he's just one of the very few very good eggs.
Yeah, he's a fantastic egg, he is. He's my favourite egg. He's my favourite rock-based egg, I think.
Yeah. Yeah, it seems like he takes a lot of time out of his day to just check in with people as well, and especially maybe, you know, being in a position now where he doesn't need to be as friendly and face-to-face as people as maybe starting off. But yeah, it's lovely to see, especially with the two of you, with how that connection has gone so far.
Yeah, he cares about the industry. He cares about representation. And like, I'd been championing Let Live so hard when I was at Team Rock, and it never occurred to me that he may have picked up on that and noticed that. So it was, in fact, I say I'm not friends with bands, but I'm going to start name dropping left, right and centre, so I sound like a right tit. But yeah, it's, I think, one of the nicest things and one of the best ways to make friends with artists for me has been because I did do a new band show. So bands like North Lane, I was talking about before anyone else, bands like Thy Art Is Murder, they knew that I was tweeting every day. So they're like, "Sophie, yay!" So it's, you create that amazing kind of rapport and bond with these artists, which is lovely. And then they do have ended up supporting me a lot as well, like Jason has, and North Lane flew me out to Australia to do a podcast with them, which was amazing.
We've done a podcast with North Lane. Nobody mentioned any money changing hands.
Oh, no. They just flew me out to Australia.
They obviously like her more than they like us, Sean. I think we've just figured that out. So, yeah.
I think I prefer Real Big Fish to North Lane now.
Oh, wow. That clip's going to be used out of context.
Oh, no. Out of context Sapnin. Oh, that would be the worst. Imagine if somebody made an out of context Sapnin account. Yeah. There is so much. Oh, my God. We'd be cancelled with the first tweet. Whatever it would be. Oh, no.
Do you know what?
Ruined it.
Here's the thing, though. I didn't realise how hardcore the Scar fans go. I didn't realise it was such a thing. Like, I tweeted once, imagine going on a date with somebody and then finding out that they listen to Scar.
Blech. Yep.
And people went nuts.
I would rather find out they listen to Scooter than Scar.
Yeah.
I would rather them listen to Rave than Scar. But yeah, sorry. I got angry.
The word Rave makes me go...
Yeah, no, oh, I prefer it over fucking, hey, we're pretending to be happy every fucking day.
I can't handle it.
But yeah, that's what my joke was about that Real Big Fish interview. It was almost as if the singer had woken up and realised he had trumpets in his band. That's how bad he was. He was like, not trumpets again today. God alive. But anyway, that's definitely alienated all of our Scar fans. And We're going to have to do a special episode, I think. Scarpening. We'll have to do a Scarpening episode where we bring on Scar. It's just going to be me doing this. Yeah, go
where
on.
Where is it?
Morgan's face was brilliant then. You were like, no, that's not happening.
I just don't know what's going on. This is gone crazy. But like,
it's not happening.
It's not happening. But not like that. Going back to what you said about, you know, and especially having that new music show in the past and stuff. Yeah, it must be great to see how far some of those bands have come as well, and just stay in touch really, and just appreciate you giving them a chance early on when not a lot of people were.
Yeah, it's really cool, especially bands like, say, Paris, Neck Deep, artists like that, and like seeing them absolutely killing it now is so good. And I guess I'm just really passionate about new music, because I think a lot of people in my position, I've always said, like, in any other industry, you can make it ahead really early on. Whereas in rock, it takes so long to get anywhere within rock that by the time you probably get to where you're at, you get jaded and stop liking current music. And I think that's a massive issue within rock. I think all of my peers are all stuck in their ways and actually not connected. Like, rock was, I'm going to get cancelled, but I've said it before and I'll say it again.
Okay, go for it.
Rock as a genre, yes, there is rock for people in their late 20s, their 30s, 40s, 50s. There is rock for those people, but rock as a genre is made for people who are rebellious and in their early 20s. And it's supposed to be that young rebellion against everything the world stands for, everything your parents stand for. So when people like higher up are saying, oh, well, you can't have that because that's not rock. That's not, oh, it hasn't got enough this, it hasn't got enough that. And it's like, well, it's not up to you, is it? It's up to the new generation. And I know that because I remember everyone saying nu metal wasn't rock. And it's like, you all didn't like that because it had rapping in it. So now you can't do the same thing to kids today. So I think I went off topic there a little bit. It is something I get passionate about, as you can probably tell. Championing new music is super important to me, and representing young audiences as well, because I think our rock media, especially in the UK, can sometimes be a little bit old.
Yeah, but not to put you on the spot, but speaking of new music, is there any bands or artists in particular that come to mind now that you think don't get enough appreciation and you would advise our listeners to maybe go and have a listen to?
God, there's loads. It's really, really hard, because like, you've got Meet Me at the Altar doing their new sound and absolutely killing it at the moment. And then you've got people like 100 Gex. You've got Jerris Johnson, who's kicked off over on TikTok doing what he's doing, which again is a totally different sound.
Is that the lad who's on the Papa Roach remix?
Yes, on Papa Roach Reloaded. And a lot of people absolutely hate it, but if you listen to,
they're scared of change. That's what it is. They can't.
That's what it is.
It's literally the last 5 years. What I found is anybody over the age of 35 seems to be really, really terrified of change, and that's just leaked down now to the point where, like, Last Resort, the original, still exists. If you only like that version, just listen to that version.
Just listen to that.
If you don't like the new version, done listening to it. That's all you got to do. It's just, oh, is this the new version? Off. Here you go. Skip. That's literally it. I'm sick of it. I saw people complaining about it last week, and I was like, I quite like the melody. But if I need the old Last Resort, it's still there. So why are people whinging? Like, it drives me mad.
But do you think that's because you've always had an appreciation for pop music? Like, even when I interviewed you, like, years ago, I remember you saying that you appreciated the structure, the song structure of pop music and how it can be catchy. And I think, is it people just snub rock pop music?
I think, no, because I did get jaded. See, like you said, I got, like, the older generation. Like, when the Blackout finished, in 2015, when the Blackout finished, for about 2 or 3 years, I had gone off music. I was just like, right, well, nobody to me is as good live as the Blackout were. Or as entertaining live as the Blackout were. Not good, because that makes it like I could sing. But that wasn't true. I know I could make a gig fun, right? So I literally went off music for about 2 years. It was only reconnecting with Morgan. And back again, this all ties in together. Like, I met Morgan via like Radio Cardiff when he was working there, and you know, as like a local radio station you'd pop into. And we, like, your story is exactly how mine and Morgan's story is. Like, I met him through Radio Cardiff. I always remember him liking us and championing us and being at our gigs or whatever. So I think, yeah, and then like we got to do like the final, the Blackout interview together, and then yeah, we ended up doing this. So. But yeah, I was jaded for quite some time, but it was only until I kind of got into this again, when I started looking into this, and then I went to see Holding Absence playing Cardiff.
Oh, wow, yeah.
And I was like, oh, South Wales Rock isn't dead. I thought literally all the bands had gone, and I went to see Holding Absence, and seeing the crowd interact with the band was, it just reminded me of like the early days of like Kids in Glass Houses, us, Funeral for a Friend, and all of those bands. And I was like, oh, this is still there, this is still alive. And it gave me a kick up the arse, really, to get back into it. And then I saw them and I was like, I just want to do a gig. So I started another band again, and yeah, now I'm loving new music. But yeah, for a while I was that jaded old man, and oh, these kids with tattoos on their faces, I don't know what they're up to.
Not enough guitars in this song.
Yeah.
I've been through it quite early on, probably during the time that we met, because I went through this phase.
It was us. Yeah. Remember, we met and I went off music for a year? Oh, yeah. I do remember that, yeah. Yeah, sorry, Soph, yeah.
Mine wasn't as like yours, though. Mine was more like... Do you remember there was this snobbery that happened back in the day where you couldn't be into multiple types of music at once? And so, like, I used to listen to Fall Out Boy, but I never would have admitted that publicly, or Panic at the Disco or bands like that, because I was into Niall. I listened to Niall, I listened to Meshuggah,
yeah,
and everything's heavy and got to be angry. And so I couldn't admit that I liked other music. And so... I went through this whole phase where I kept trying to act cool, and I'd be like, oh yeah, that band suck, because they do, and I look back and I'm just like, the fuck you were on about? Like, I was just trying to be cool at the time. And I think that was picking it up from people who were older than me and jaded.
Yeah, well, that's what it is. There's always gatekeepers. There was always the elderly, always the elderly gatekeeper who'd be like, you don't like Limp Bizkit if you can't name every single song of $3 Bill, or... And yeah, it's just boring, isn't it? It's just so
boring.
Like, I'm seeing it now, like, there's a lady who works with like head of Spotify Rock or whatever, and I'm just, if you go on her Instagram, it's just loads of bands sucking up to her, and it hurts my heart, to be honest. It really, really hurts my heart that's what you have to kind of do to get considered for Spotify playlist. It's like I said, I started my new band, but I can't bring myself to go on there and be like, oh, I love this picture of you, son. Will you check out my band? Because that's what everybody else is doing here. And it's horrible. And I just hate these gatekeepers of stuff.
That's the gatekeepers need to admit that they're gatekeepers. That's what needs to happen. This industry needs a slap.
Mm. Yeah.
Like, the gatekeeping that happened with me throughout so much of my career has made me angry. So now, like, I won't put up with that shit. I'm like, fuck you guys.
Well, talking about giving the industry a slap, I think that's the perfect segue to start talking about your podcast on Wednesdays, We Were Black. Great name, by the way. Love the Mean Girls reference. My third favourite film. Sean hates everything every time I say that.
What's your first and second favourite films?
Back to the Future is number one. And number two is Ferris Bueller's Day Off.
Oh, okay, cool.
You were born in the wrong year. You were born 10 years too late. I think, do you know that?
Yeah, I think I was, to be honest. But anyway, talk to us about the work you, Alex and Yasmin, have been doing so far, because this being had a great reaction, and you guys are talking about a lot of different topics that people are just ignoring, really.
Can I just, first of all, just take my hat off to you, Morgan, because I can see you, like, having to bring Sean and I back, which is like herding cats. So I just want to say, very good work, because I can see that we're getting well giddy and going off topic. Yes, so on Wednesdays We Wear Black is a podcast that started with Alex and Yasmin, and do you know what? For in every career I've had, and I've mentioned all the different places I've worked, I've been told who I can and can't date. I once had a photo go up on the Team Rock Facebook, and I was like, it was Sophie Kay's looking forward to meeting Avenged Sevenfold, and I had a skirt on that had a slit above my knee. And some of the big bosses at the time took it down. It's sexist. It's Sophie shouldn't be putting up things showing her legs, and yet they'd have a car with a naked model on it in some like leather bra and stuff. And everything I have done has been controlled, and I feel like as a woman in this industry, I've had to become like a robot, and it sucks. So men love talking about their dicks. Men love it. Men love talking about shit. And it's just an accepted thing that people think, oh, it's funny, it's an accepted. So I thought, well, when you get a bunch of women, non-binary people, people who are female presenting people, when you get a bunch of people, it's not just men who have that type of humour. There's all types of conversations that happen. So I thought, fuck the old guard. I've made it where I've made it now. I don't give a shit what anyone thinks. People want to judge me. If people want to say anything, I am going to talk about crude stuff. I'm going to have a laugh. I'm going to challenge the things that no one dare talk about because everyone's so worried pussyfooting around different management companies and different like PRs and whatnot. I'm not going to pussyfoot. I'm just going to, because you don't do that in other industries. When did rock become the most sterilized, most just confined genre out of all of the genres? Mm. We've got fucking WAP being released, and there's like people grinding on the floor and talking about wet pussies and all that kind of shit. And then in rock, we're like, oh no, definitely don't flash your upper thigh. Jesus Christ, fuck off. So the whole point of the podcast was to create something which is a space for the people that you don't tend to see represented, you don't tend to hear from. Because like people always say to me, oh, Sophie, it's very unusual to see a black woman in rock. It's actually not if you go to shows. And like when I was working at Total Rock, I would probably say a majority of the female, if not 50% of the female presenters were ethnically diverse. So where have all those presenters gone now? Why am I the only female on most of the stations I work on? But anyway, that's a side topic. So We Wear Black is, we talk about everything from dating, sex, music, festivals, but then we're also going to do deep dives into more serious topics. We're going to find out more about, say, Marilyn Manson, because we can go there and talk about the things and the effect of sexual, and our experiences of the fear that is there for people like us in the industry, A, talking out about sexual assault and the type of things that happen in the industry that a lot of men just probably wouldn't see, because it's very sly the way these things happen. So it's just a completely broad range of topics we're talking about. I don't know how it's the first podcast of its type, but it is. That's We Wear Black.
Yeah, because I was gonna mention that, like, you know, the three of you must have just been fed up in the lead to it, not seeing enough of those kind of things done beforehand. I mean, it's great that you've all created the first, but really in 2021, you would have thought there would have been something of this nature beforehand. And it seems to be great the way you're all dealing with it, because, as you said, you talk about a very different variety of topics, but you do have a laugh at things like sex and dating apps and fashion and little things to have fun, but you cover those very serious topics of racism and not having enough gender equality at festivals and everything like that. So yeah, is it kind of a weird feeling where you're very proud that now you have this out there and you're raising these issues, but a little bit of anger as well, like, well, why are we the first ones? Like, it's about time.
Yeah, I'm fucking fuming. Do you know how long I've been grafting in this industry? Like, fucking grafting. I've turned up to meetings with companies that we all know. And I once remember one company, I went in with a full pitch and I'd got all my mates in TV to help me write a proper pitch of a new TV show for Rock and how it would work, how much the production would cost. And I was told, Well, this doesn't really look in our budget, but we do have a position for a ring girl if you want to wear a bikini and walk around with a sign. And I was like, are you fucking kidding me? I've just walked in with a full pitch. I was told when I went to one audition in the early days that a black woman would never be taken seriously by fans of rock. And I was told this by a panel of judges, and that was part of what spurred on my career. So most of my career has been rooted in anger. The difference is I've had to hide it this whole time because I'm so... It's not like being in a band. In a band, you can be like, fuck the man, and it's cool. I can't go into my corporate jobs in big brands and go, yeah, fuck the man, because I'll get fired. It's that simple, and they're paying my bills.
Like, fuck the man. Yeah. Sorry, man.
Radio.
Fuck the man. Sorry, man. Sorry, all.
Am I still getting paid on the first, though, guys? So, but now, I'm angry, but I'm trying to channel it in the right ways because it's still not changing. And it still won't change as long as the big brands, so many brands approach me for Black Lives Matter. So many brands have approached Nova Twin, so many brands have approached all these people. But the fact of the matter is they're just using us as tokens. They're going, oh, we did Black Lives Matter. We put up our black square. We did this. Oh, we got a black musician in. But what I'm trying to do now, not only with the podcast, but with where I'm at in my career, I want to ask all of these questions, these labels. Where are the women? Where's the ethnic diversity? Where is the diversity at the top? Because, and I might be going off topic again, but I'm going back to my favourite topic. I think this is what's killing rock. Rock will never die. Rock will always be there. But the blues will always be there. But I think we'll all agree that jazz and the blues, like, that's an old people game now.
Yeah.
And I don't want rock to become an old person's game. But we're going to get there unless we make it more diverse, because kids these days, they don't just want to hear, like, it's no longer rebellious to be an angry male. That was rebellious back in the 80s and the 90s and the early noughties, and that was like, yeah, we're rebelling, and it was cool. But then we've seen hip-hop and the rise of hip-hop, and so now that's kind of the more rebellious side. We're seeing women rebel. So people want to see diversity. And that's what I feel angry about. I feel angry that we're still having to have these fights. I feel angry that we're still having to have these conversations. I feel angry that festivals are always getting ripped apart for their diverse lineups. But then it's not... When you actually dig behind the people who are ripping these festivals apart, they normally have another agenda. And also, on top of that, for example, Reading and Leeds got ripped apart. Why didn't people talk about the fact that Reading and Leeds had the most ethnically diverse lineup they'd ever have? So why don't we start celebrating instead of constantly trying to say, oh, but you haven't got a black disabled person with a gay eyebrow. Do you know what I mean? Like, we have to celebrate if there's more LGBTQ plus people than ever before, then let's do that. Let's celebrate them. It doesn't have to all be about, I've gone off topic here, but it doesn't have to be all about one agenda. It's just about diversity and however that looks across the scene. So I'm angry at the moment for the industry using tokenism. So next time you see anybody, whether they're signing bands, whether they're doing their pages, ask who's at the top. That's my thing at the moment.
And I'm not asking this question because you to have like a magic answer or explanation or anything, but like on a basic human day-to-day level, like what advice or mindset would you say that music fans or anyone in the industry, people working behind the scenes, should have to kind of fix these problems? Because it's an issue everyone's really being aware of for many years now, but especially over the last 12 months or so. But like, how would you say is the best way to go about it to kind of educate everyone so everyone knows that these are the battles that people are going through and that we should look at these things a little bit more?
It's a hard one because I think the problem lies with the people who will never look at themselves, and it's the people who actually make money in this industry, and Sean will tell you, it's definitely not the bands. But it's the people who actually make money in this industry they're the big booking agents, they're promoters, they're managers, they're record labels. They're the people who are making the money, and they're the people and they're the positions where we need the diversity. So I think all we can do as individuals is keep ourselves aware of our own actions and what we do day to day and how we receive others. Are we championing? Like, I've gone out, like, I, when the Heavy Network came to me, the idea wasn't to do that idea. It was to do something completely different with another presenter in rock.
Okay.
But I didn't want to do that. I wanted to raise voices who might not have been, who I wanted to raise them up to my level. It's not a rope ladder. I don't get to climb it and then pull it back up again. So I have to create space for others. And in the same way that Jason doesn't have to lift me up or do anything, or Nova Twins, or create the label that he's created. And I think, so on our own level, we have to look at what we're doing. If you're a DJ at a student night, obviously not at the moment, but what tracks are you playing? How diverse is your playlist? If you're on a radio station, how diverse is your playlist there? How many women are getting played an hour? How many black people? And it's okay to question, and it doesn't matter where you work, we can question it. And even just looking for new artists that might not have the support otherwise. Because I've said it before and I'll say it again, there are bands who have been championed hard in this scene. Championed hard. And the audience didn't take to it, but the labels kept pushing and pushing and pushing. So labels have the power to build a band. We all know that. So we've got to... We can build them ourselves. We can listen to artists ourselves and champion them. Even if they're like... just. Find some artists that are more diverse for your playlists. Yeah. That's what I would say.
Yeah. Well, nice. Well, thanks for that, Sophie. That was very well said, very deep. But going back to the podcast as well, I mean, I was quite surprised to read this, but am I right in saying that you, Alex, and Yasmin, like, didn't really know each other before you started? I mean, obviously, you were kind of aware of one another being in the scene and stuff for years, but, like, I was surprised that you guys weren't friends and had kind of built this up for a while.
No, it just... literally, I had seen both of their work and I'd been watching them, and I didn't expect that level of on-air chemistry. Like, it was just instant, and it was like we all just fell into our little positions of who we are. Normally I'm the shocking one, so when Alex came out with some of the things she was saying, I was like, all right then, here we go. So geese is gonna geese. Yeah, here we go. And I think, like, Yasmin's got this weird sense of humour. Like, they just come out with these comments. They're like, oh my God, you're so cute and sweet, and you've just come out with the most weird comment. But also, they're very, very intelligent because they've got that journalistic brain. I've got years of broadcasting under my belt, so I'm able to, like, bring everyone back in. Alex has just got these unbelievable stories, but they're all really talented at what they do. So it's just amazing coming together to work.
Yeah,
it's a fantastic chemistry you all have. I can't believe that you weren't friends before. That's nuts.
It's mad, isn't it?
Yeah.
I swear it's rock, though. I think, like, I don't really know you two. I've met you, Sean, for like 10 minutes or whatever at Total Rock many years ago, but I feel like we could all go out for a beer and talk for ages, because it's when you're into rock, you're kind of already... I have three topics I can talk to you about: animals, rock, or surfing. And that's it. So if you hit into the rock, I'm like, yeah, cool, we're mates.
Nice. I'm trying to think where a conversation with all three of those things come up. It's mainly Australia, I suppose.
Well, Parkway Drive with a puppy. Well, I don't know, because they surf, don't they?
You've just described my dreams to me. I often dream of Parkway Drive with a puppy.
Yeah, I have a dream of getting married on a beach, and all of a sudden... out of the distance comes Winston on a wave with a puppy, topless with a puppy, and he's like, oh my God, there he is. But yeah. Awesome.
Yeah
that again. So podcast quotes out of context, there you go.
Yeah, literally.
Oh God, yeah. Awesome. Thing is, because we've joked about it, somebody will make an out of context happening, and it will ruin us, because we have said some dubious sentences.
Looking forward to that. Not really. And just Sophie, just a couple more quick things before you go. Really enjoyed this. You've provided some great insight into everything. But like, what advice would you give to anyone kind of looking to get into journalism or presenting or TV work or anything like that, especially now in 2021? Is it just trying to put yourselves out there and just get as much knowledge as possible?
Oh, hell. My advice is don't do it.
That's also good as well. That's also good advice.
I don't know. I think for people trying to get into it at the moment, I would say that when you're... This is going to be like old person advice now. But when you're young, you're like, I don't care about money. I just want to do something I love and all of that. And it's great doing something you love. But always have a backup and other skills to fall back on, because if you focus on this one thing, you never know what the future holds. So the most successful people I know also do things like producing or other things. So for example, Yasmin even is a journalist but also an influencer as well, so they make money from both. For me personally, I studied videography, so I work in that kind of realm, and I've worked in advertising at times to get me through when there weren't jobs, because finding jobs in this industry is really, really hard. So unless your parents are rich or connected, make sure you have a backup plan.
Ah, well, that's being Sean fucked then. Thanks for that.
This has ended up being my back, like the blackout. I did the blackout for 13 years and I was like, this is gonna last forever. And then 2015 came and all the boys were like, oh Sean, we'd rather spend time with our family than you. And I was like, what? No, what? I haven't even thought about never doing this. What do you mean? You mad... So you are spot on. I am living example. Guys, get a backup plan, for fuck's sake.
And last question from me, Soph. I've got to know, when you've done all this work and, you know, you've done a lot of freelance stuff and you've come in for special features on whatever, have you had all those stupid jokes about Special K?
Yeah. One of the PRs even sends me my post, says, with a Special K sticker on, yeah.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, it happens. But you know what? Not the worst thing I've been called. So, you know, you've got to take the wins when they come.
Well, Sophie, one last question. What is the word?
No, let's not go down that road. Let's not.
You're like, did you both just go, actually, I've just realised how dark YouTube is and we probably shouldn't ask that at all.
Probably.
But no, YouTube is the worst.
Yeah, I was trying to think of things people have said to me and stuff, but it's mainly fakes. Like, I've got a fake eye. That was a good one. One of my eyes is a glass eye, apparently.
Oh, wow, okay.
A fake hip. Apparently, I've got a fake hip. Have you ever heard any good rumours about yourself like
Ooh.
That?
No, I think my favourite... I don't know, you hear all sorts of different stuff, don't you, about people... There's always been rumours that I was sleeping with someone influential when I got a new job, and I can categorically say I would have got ahead way quicker if I had slept around. I wish I had done that.
Back to the earlier question, what's your advice for upcoming journalists? Uh-oh.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. Young girls across the world, just make sure you sleep around. No. I've been trying to get myself cancelled for ages with We Wear Black. My humour, it tends to be quite dark, and I'm going to get myself cancelled one day.
You get us cancelled as well. Clever girl. I'll take us both down.
There is a whole thread on an interview I did with Slipknot. People were quite mean in that thread. People have got really nasty over the internet lately, and they never used to be this bad. Like, I interviewed Slayer loads of times and I just got people going, oh wow, a girl who knows loads about Slayer, that's cool. But no, they've turned nasty. So there's so many comments all talking about my height and how I can't be as tall as I'm, like, because I'm up there with Jim Root, and so there's a whole conversation about whether I'm stood on a box or not.
Oh.
I mean, I'm not the same height as him, but I'm not like at his belly button. So people are like, oh yeah, well, it's, you know, I'll tell you what it is because like in the UK, women are super tall. In case you didn't know, yeah, women are like really tall over there in the UK. So she's obviously just really tall. Because that's a thing, apparently.
Yeah.
What?
Like, I love the idea that there's no possible way you could be 5'11". Like, in their minds, they're like, they make women that big? No, surely. I was like, you've never seen a girl over 6... What, like, what are you talking... Like, oh, it's just... It's the internet, isn't it? It's just internet and comments.
And I love the fact they've obviously confused, like, the UK with Sweden or somewhere like that. Yeah. So... Wait till they come close. To Wales. They're going to have a lovely time.
Oh, God. Yeah. Like,
that'll be a shock. Yeah. This isn't Sweden.
Definitely be a shock. Let's say that. But
I love Wales as well before I get okay. cancelled as the English person saying I don't like Wales.
I don't think you can get cancelled in Wales. I think it's impossible. So you're all right, I think.
I've got a soft spot for Wales. It's lovely. I once went into, what's the big place where you've got all the, they have this nice ice cream and they have the muddy in Swansea.
I don't know. What, you think
do
I don't
you not know this place?
Because I'm Welsh, I must know every area of every town.
Hang on. No, there's a famous Welsh ice cream that you guaranteed know.
That is Sodolies. Sodolies, I believe.
Maybe.
Anyway, yeah. I went into the... Yeah, it's not Sodolies, but... Okay. I went into the... I'll send it later. I'll remember. Joe's ice cream.
Joe's ice cream, yeah.
Joe's ice cream.
There's a Joe's, yeah.
Everybody Joe's knows Joe's ice cream.
Yeah, they're the top two. Yeah, carry on, sorry.
Yeah, so I went in Swansea and you have all the mud and I was told it's really good for your skin. Put it all over my face and it was just covered in maggots. It was full of worms and it was crawling all over my face.
Welcome to Welsh humour. Oh, if you pick up mud up there and put it on your face, it's real good for your face, but is it bad? Well, I reckon. All right, then I'll fucking give it a go, innit? It's fucking maggots, but here you go. Welcome to Wales. There you go.
Welcome to Wales.
Like, fucking tidy. Tidy. She got muds and maggots on her face, boys. Fucking wicked, that is. Tidy.
Tidy.
What a way to end, eh?
Nobody's expecting that.
No. But thank you so much, Sophie, for taking time to come on. Yes. I've really enjoyed this. This has been a great laugh and a wonderful insight into everything. So thank you so, so much.
Thank you both. I'm going to take my puppy outside because I think he might poo on the floor. So.
Good. Good luck. Yeah. Thank you so much for this. And good luck. Everybody check out the podcast on Wednesdays. We wear black. And hopefully we'll get to speak to you soon and go for a pint or do one of these in the flesh. Yes. Dans les flesh, as the French say. That will be all right. So
oui.
Thank you very much. Yes, we. <oui. laughs> Nice. Thank you very much. Thanks, Soph.
All right. Take care. Catch you soon. Bye. You're
listening to Sammy Podcast. Yes. Awesome.
Thank you very much to Sophie Kay for the stories, for her honesty. She was just an all-round joy to be around. Oh, that was nice, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Surprised myself how nice I was, eh? Thanks to Sophie. She was fantastic.
Yeah, and I really appreciate you taking the time out to just have a like relaxed conversation about everything as well. And just that kind of background information of where she grew up and everything and collecting chameleons and being such an advocate for wildlife as a kid was... it was insane as well. I'm going to put it out there. I'm surprised no one's come to her for some kind of wildlife show. She could be the next David Attenborough, really.
Or Steve Irwin.
Aye.
Steve Irwin, you know, prior to the terrible accident. I'm not wishing. Right, let's go back. Wait. Yes, she'd be very good on an animal show. I agree. I'm sorry now, I've said Steve Irwin. No, I meant Steve Irwin because he's a bubbly personality and that's what she is. And yeah.
And he's an iconic figure. Not that Sophie's gonna get eaten by a crocodile or whatever happened to him.
You don't know what happened to Steve Irwin?
You tell me he did not get eaten by a crocodile?
No.
I've got completely wrong then.
He got stabbed in the heart by a stingray.
Oh, that's much more dramatic.
Oh, it's an emo way to go. I'll give it that.
It is.
Yeah, that's crazy, isn't it? But anyway, let's move on.
Thanks for telling me about
Discovery Channel. Get in touch with Sophie K and get her on our bloody screens, for God's sake, man.
Yes, I think it's something that would be very interesting. But yeah, and just hearing about all of her stories from Jason Butler to all the places she's worked was incredible as well. So thanks again for Sophie for coming on. And a reminder for you to go and check out her new podcast on Wednesdays, We Wear Black, with two other awesome people in Alex and Yasmin, and now available on the Heavy Network and wherever you get podcasts. They talk a lot about different topics, some things that are very sensitive, including gender, role and sex. So it's worth a listen. And I think, we should get all three of them on the podcast at some point down the future line. That'd be good to have a chat in person.
Down the future line.
It's on one of those
go on.
Underground stations.
Is it the
Underground? It is the Underground. Yeah, not from London, so I forget what it's called.
Yeah, the future line.
Somewhere between Victoria.
I think that podcast would be absolutely carnage. So maybe we should do a Sapnin We Wear on Wednesdays We Wear Black, like mashup collaboration podcast somehow.
Well, and all that'd get good. And everyone involved gets cancelled, because I'm surprised that the three of us don't get cancelled at the end of this, to be honest.
Oh, I'd imagine I'd get cancelled straight away.
But yes, so great to have Sophie on. And if you're listening to the podcast for the first time, we would love it if you could go and click that subscribe button wherever you are checking out this conversation. Share it with your friends if you've enjoyed it. And if you think we deserve a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts or anything like that, we'd very much appreciate your support as well. Other ways you could help us out is by giving us a follow on social media pages, Twitter and Instagram at SapninPod.
At SAPPENINPOD, that's at SAPPENINPOD, Twitter and Instagram. Give us a follow, give us a like, send us a message, tell us what you liked about the podcast, tell us what you hated about the podcast. We'll mainly ignore those ones. But let us know anyway, innit? Just get in touch with us.
Nice to see those notifications, and we all appreciate a message. So please go and check out at SapninPod. And we would love you forever and ever and ever and a day, so that's loads, right? If you headed over to our Patreon page, patreon.com/Sapnin, to help keep this podcast going each and every week and get a host of extra rewards for your support. We're putting up things like monthly Q&A sessions, a playlist, bonus podcasts and stuff from our archives that I've never hit the podcast before. So if you'd like some extra goodies, a few more laughs and some rambles, and meet a host of your new best friends in our community, which are literally the best people we've ever met, that's the place to go and check it out. And we would love you forever. As I said, patreon.com/Sapnin.
Yes. Oh, well remembered and well said, Morgan.
Thank you.
Damn right. Those, the people involved in our Patreon are absolutely amazing. Each and every one of them. If you've considered being involved, thank you very much. If you have been involved, thank you very much. If you're still involved, we love you. And what a fantastic group. What a fantastic fun time it is as well in the group with them. Just everybody posting and coming up with ideas and music reviews and showing us new music as well, which is awesome. So thanks for everybody in the group. You are fan-bloody-tastic.
They are, and they're so fantastic that if you head over to the description of this episode, there's loads of names there that we have to thank. They keep this thing going each and every week, and we love everyone involved so, so much. But Sean is going to go and give a mahoosive, gigantic, special shout-out to the elite members of our Patreon community. Those are the top tiers, and sometimes they change their names to catch Sean out and have a laugh. I don't know if they have, but we'll find out one way or another.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Thank you very much to everybody involved in the Patreon, but thank you very much to Kylie Wheeler, Mayumi Liwawe, Janelle Caston, Mitch Perry, Emma Barber, Dilly I Wish I Could Speak Whale Grimwood, Nathan Croshaw, Kelly Young, Paul Hirschfield, Scooby Drew Styles, Mikey McDonald's McMuffin Buns. Thank you, Mikey. Liam Connolly, Kelly Irwin, Kat Besant, Sammy G, Amadine Urbano, Shani Meyer, Boxel Anderson, Tony Michael, Sarah T, Ash Brown James, Justin Dunn, Dana Lasnova, Amy Campion, Johnny Phillips, Scott Jones, Dan Gies, DJ I'm Back You Sexy Mofos, Ambler Shattock, Simon Amos, Kate Stevenson, Jenny Sexy Boy Munster, Danny Eaton, Lucy Diaz, Emily Senegals, Martina McManus, Erin Howard, I don't know why I put a H on the front of that, Becky Handy, John and Emma, Jenny Robinson, Jason Heredia, Louis Cook, Marcy Jacobson, Sandra Kuacek, Caroline Robinson, Kelly Emma Cannon, Kevin Clark, Carl Pendlebury, Livy Cropper, Stuart McNaught, James McNaught, Tallulah Grant, Lydia Henderson, Sharifa Wadali, Craig Harris, Keris Andrews, Ollie Sorry We're Incapable of Enjoying Wholesome Things, Amesbury, Chris Howard, Jacob Turner, Josh, I was addicted to the Okie Cokie, but in the end I turned myself around. Thank you very much, Alice Wood, Adam King of the Goths, Parslow, and last but no means least, thank you very much to Connor Lewins and his family.
Yay! Love everyone on that list and everyone involved in the community. Very, very much thank you. As always, we appreciate it. And if you'd like to get your name read out at the end of this or just meet some new best friends again, patreon.com/sapnin. It's from as little as $3, which is about £2.50 in the British sterling now. So that's quite cheap to make friends, to be honest. If you've got to pay for friends, I reckon that's a really cheap fee.
Yeah. It's a weird way to sell it to people, Mark.
It is.
I tell you what, if anybody joins between now and then, right, I'll add you as a friend and we'll have a chat. Yeah, what a weird way to advertise a Patreon.
I'm just trying to think of new things. We've been doing this for 121 weeks now, sure, and we need an extra kind of thing every now and again to motivate it.
That is true, yeah.
But before we go, is there anything else you would like to mention? I want to say a massive thank you and happy birthday this week.
Oh, look, you beat me to it, man. You had to get in it. You had to get in. It's my mother. Happy birthday to my mother for yesterday. She hasn't listened to this. She won't listen to this. Fingers crossed.
You definitely be cancelled if your mum listens to this.
That's true, yeah. Happy birthday, mum. I love you very, very much. I hope you have I just did thumbs up. I don't know. I did thumbs up on a podcast where you can't see me. So there you go. To my mother, who won't listen to this. Oh, I'm losing the bloody plot.
We all love Jan. Is there anything else you want to...
No.
What about your band?
I'm still in the band. Yeah. I'm still in a band called Raiders, yeah. Hopefully we'll be doing gigs soon. Check out raidersbanduk.bandcamp.com and check out Raiders UK on music listening websites and give us a listen, for God's sake, please. Thank you very much.
I can confirm they are very good and have a lot of riffs, so people will enjoy. But nice, another really insightful episode, a different story, a different look into the music industry. I very much enjoyed it. Thanks again to Sophie K for taking her time out to come on, and we'll be back next week and every Friday with another special guest and story. And next week's episode, You're not ready for it.
I was just looking at your face then, and you went each and every week. And as you said, each and every week, I just like, it looks like he might be dying inside. I will be doing this. Me and Sean are going to be doing this forever.
For the rest of our lives.
But yeah, everyone stay safe. Have a great week. Wear a mask where possible. Get a vaccine in it or don't. Up to you. Well, up to. Tidy. Have a good one. Fucking Sapnin!
Sapnin!
You're listening to Sapnin Podcast with Sean Smith and Morgan Richards. Thank you very much for downloading this podcast or streaming it, or I don't know what else you do with podcasts. Thank you very much.